Once more the sermon proceeded. "Your voraciousness, fellow critters, I don't blame you so much for. That is nature, and it can't be helped. But to govern that wicked nature, that is the pint. You is sharks, certain. But if you govern the shark in you, why then you be angel. For all angel is nothing more than the shark well governed. Now look here, brethren, just try once to be civil of helping you Seb from that whale. Don't be tearing the blubber out your neighbor's mouth, I say. Is not one shark dude right as t'other to that whale? And by God, none of you has the right to that whale. That whale belonged to someone else. I know some of you has very big mouth, bigger than others. But then the big mouth sometimes had the small bellies, so that the bigness of the mouth is not to swallow it, but to bite off the blubber for the small fry of the sharks that can't get into the scrounge to help himself." "Well done, old fleece," cried Stubb. "That's Christianity. Go on."
"No use going on. Them damn villains will keep a scrounging and slapping each other, Master Stubb. They don't hear one word. No use of preaching to such damn guttons, as you call them, till their bellies is full, and their bellies is bottomless. And when they do get them full, they won't hear you then, for then they sink in the sea, go fast asleep on the coral, and can't hear nothing at all no more forever and ever."
"Upon my soul, I am about of the same opinion. So give the benediction, Fleece, and I'll away to my supper." Upon this, Fleece, holding both hands over the fishy mob, raised his shrill voice and cried,
"Cussed fella critters, kick up the damnest row as ever you can, fill your damn bellies till they bust, and then die."
"Now, cook," said Stubb, resuming his supper at the capstan. "Stand just where you stood before, there, over against me, and pay particular attention."
"All attention," said Fleece,
again stooping over upon his tongs in the desired position. "Well," said Stubb, helping himself freely meanwhile, "I shall now go back to the subject of the steak. In the first place, how old are you, cook?"
"What that do with the steak?" said the old black testily.
"Silence, how old are you, cook?"
"About 90, they say," he gloomily muttered.
"And have you lived in this world hard upon 100 years, cook, and don't yet know how to cook a whale steak?" Rapidly bolting another mouthful at the last word, so that that morsel seemed a continuation of the question.
"Where were you born, cook?"
"Hand the hatchway in a ferry boat going over to Roanoke."
"Born in a ferry boat? That's queer, too. But I want to know what country you were born in, cook."
"Didn't I say the Roanoke country?"
he cried sharply.
"Well, no, you didn't, cook, but I'll tell you what I'm coming to, cook. You must go home and be born over again. You don't know how to cook a whale steak yet."
"Bless my soul if I cook another one,"
he growled angrily, turning round to depart. "Come back, cook. Here, hand me those tongs. Now take that bit of steak there and tell me if you think that steak is cooked as it should be. Take it, I say," holding the tongs toward him. "Take it and taste it." Faintly smacking his withered lips over it for a moment, the old negro muttered,
"Best cooked steak I ever taste. Juicy, very juicy."
"Cook," said Stubb, squaring himself once more, "do you belong to the church?"
"Passed one once in Cape Town," said the old man sullenly.
"And have you ever once in your life passed a holy church in Cape Town, where you doubtless overheard a holy parson addressing his hearers as his beloved fellow creatures, have you, cook? And yet you come here and tell me such a dreadful lie as you did just now, eh?" said Stubb. "Where do you expect to go to, cook?"
"Go to bed very soon," he mumbled, half turning as he spoke. "Avast, heave to. I mean when you die, cook. It's an awful question. Now what's your answer?"
"When this old black man dies," said the negro slowly, changing his whole air and demeanor, "he himself won't go nowhere. But some blessed angel will come and fetch him."
"Fetch him? How? In a coach and four, as they fetched Elijah? And fetch him where?"
"Up there," said Fleece,
holding his tongs straight over his head and keeping it there very solemnly.
"So, then, you expect to go up to our main top, do you, cook, when you're dead? But don't you know the higher you climb, the colder it gets? Main top, eh?"
"Didn't say that at all," said Fleece, again in the sulks.
"You said up there, didn't you? And now look yourself and see where your tongs are pointing. But perhaps you expect to get into heaven by crawling through the lubber's hole, cook.
But no, no, cook, you don't get there except you go the regular way, round by the rigging. It's a ticklish business, but must be done, or else it's no go. And none of us are in heaven yet. Drop your tongs, cook, and hear my orders. Do you hear? Hold your hat in one hand and clap the other atop of your heart when I'm giving my orders, cook. What, that's your heart there? That's your gizzard. Aloft, aloft! That's it. Now you have it. Hold it there now and pay attention."
"All attention,"
said the old black with both hands placed as desired, vainly wriggling his grizzled head as if to get both ears in front at one and the same time. "Well then, cook,
You see, this whale steak of yours was so very bad that I have put it out of sight as soon as possible. You see that, don't you? Well, for the future, when you cook another whale steak for my private table here, the capstan, I'll tell you what to do so as not to spoil it by overdoing. Hold the steak in one hand and show a live coal to it with the other. That done, dish it. You hear? And now tomorrow, cook, when we're cutting in the fish, be sure you stand by to get the tips of his fins. Have him put in pickle. As for the ends of the flukes, have them soused, cook. There, now you may go. But Fleece had hardly got 3 paces off when he was recalled. Cook, give me cutlets for supper tomorrow night in the mid-watch. Do you hear? Away you sail, then. Hello, stop. Make a bow before you go. Avast heaving again. Whale balls for breakfast. Don't forget.
Wish my gull whale eat him instead of him eat whale. I'm best if he ain't more of a shark than Master Shark hisself, muttered the old man, limping away,
with which sage ejaculation he went to his hammock.